In your Bible, please, I call your attention to John chapter 6, John chapter number 6. And please turn there, and I'll share a few things with you and get you out of here. Some of you, I know you've had long weekends and a lot of things going on around here with celebrations and such as that. And then also many of you are planning for graduations coming up in the next week or so. And so, but we're looking forward to you being here back in the evening service tonight if you possibly can. At 6:30, and then on Wednesday night, we have our awards, Awana Awards ceremony, so you be here for that and recognize all the hard work of these young people. I want to read a passage of Scripture this morning, John chapter 6, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men to sit down." Now there was much grass in that place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that sat down, and likewise of the fish as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." I want us to bow together for a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for our graduates today. Thank you, our Father, for their labor, Lord, for their faithfulness throughout the year. And I pray, God, that you'd bless them, reward them as they take the next step. Our Father, perhaps in a career or in college, or, Lord, as they pursue their education on through public school or Christian school or private school or wherever they may be. And I pray, God, that they'll always seek your face and look to you and trust you. Know, God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. And Father, not only do we want to thank you for them today, but thank you for moms and dads and for grandparents, for extended family and friends, God, who've been a part of their life to help to mold them, to guide them, encourage them. Father, for those here in the church, our Father and church family, and Lord, and those who've had, Lord, good positive influence on these young people. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd bless them for their efforts. And God, I pray this morning you'd speak to hearts. God, I pray for that anointing that'll make the difference. Our Father, without you, I can do nothing. But God, I pray you'd speak to hearts, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is another one of those wonderful accounts of our Lord's ministry that, you know, the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God chose to record this for us. And some people would say, well, what difference does it make to us if he fed 5,000 fish or these fish and bread? What difference does it make to us? Holy Ghost of God had a real reason for putting this in here. This morning I'm going to emphasize something maybe a little bit different than you've heard before from this particular passage of Scripture. But just by way of review and think about this story, Lord Jesus Christ has been teaching and sharing the Word of God and ministering to these people. But he looked out and he saw this great multitude and he knew that they were going to be hungry. And I want to tell you something. God's interested in you, in your body, your soul, and your spirit. He's interested in every part of you. For all of those who are here today, every man, woman, boy, and girl, God has a concern for you physically. He has a concern for you spiritually and every part of your life, every phase of your life. And sometimes we divide our spiritual life from our secular life, but that's not the way it is. The Bible said, "In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path." And the Bible said, "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." He's involved and concerned about every area of your life. And what a wonderful miracle this is. The Lord noticed a few things about in so far as his sovereignty is concerned. He says to them, to Philip in particular, "How are we going to feed all this crowd?" And the Lord is addressing his disciple. Here they are. We want to feed them. And he said, Lord, I don't have an idea. He said, 200 penny worth of food's not enough. I mean, there's no way we could feed this crowd. But then the next statement, he says this, for the Lord knew what he was going to do. God already knew what he's going to do. And sometimes God's speaking in our heart and he deals with us. And you don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. He's in control of everything and he's got everything well in hand. He doesn't have to reevaluate. He doesn't have to recalculate. He doesn't have to bring things back in line and have an alternative or a different program, alternate program. He doesn't have to do that at all. He knows exactly what he's going to do. He knows when he's going to do it, and he's already got things planned ahead of time. The Bible said when you pray and ask God for your needs. You acknowledge him as sovereign God and praise him for that. But he does say this, the Lord knows what things you have need of before you've asked him. And so he's in control. He knew this crowd would be there. He knew that they'd be hungry. He already knew what he was going to do. I tell you, he knew how many crumbs would be left over when they got through. He knew how many basketfuls they'd pick up. And for their astonishment, when they gathered up out of those few little fish and those five loaves, they gathered up 12 baskets full of food. But the Lord already knew that, and that speaks of his abundant supply. God's able. Now, I've got news for you. God may speak to my heart and your heart. We have to seek him. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't know what the future holds, and he wants us to be faithful to him. He wants us to be seeking his guidance, but thank the Lord, he knows what he's going to do. He's going to take care of us. He's going to bless us in a wonderful, wonderful way. And I thank the Lord for this little boy. This little boy was there, and he was this great crowd. I don't know how to 5,000 people that Andrew had already saw this young boy. I don't know if he was eyeing his fish or not. Andrew may have been a fisherman, and he just happened to see this little boy. Of course, that's a large staple part of their life, bread and fish. If you ever go to the Philippines with the folk, and they go out every morning there in that South China Sea, way in the middle of the night, these fishermen go out and they got little old boats, it's not as wide as this pulpit, and maybe 6, 8, 10 foot long. And they go out in the middle of the night in that South China Sea on that boat, and they fish all night long. And early in the morning, you'll see them, and they're unloading their fish and they're washing their nets out. And it's an amazing thing to see them do that. And then during the day, if you ride down through Iba, you'll see those fish in the market and beside the road everywhere. They'll be laying there all day long with no refrigeration and with no ice. And when you leave out in the morning, they'll be there selling those fish. When you come back in the afternoon, they'll still be there. They'll be there tomorrow if they had any left over. And matter of fact, they have baskets full of little sardines fish, little small fish, and they're dried. And you can eat those if you're a mind to, like popcorn. Just get you a dried fish and eat them as you go down the road. They do it all the time. I never did feel led of the Lord to eat any of those, but they're there. And so the same way is true in this day. The fish were a very important part of their life. And they had the fish, and I don't know how it is, but out of that whole great crowd, Andrew saw this little boy. It could have been that this little boy was standing nearby. And when the Lord asked the question, how are we going to feed this great crowd? That little fella came up and he said, Mister, I have these little bread. I got this little bit of bread and fish, and I want to give that to the Lord. I believe that he'll use that. And some people say, well, that's so insignificant. You know, and that little fella, everybody just pat him on the head, you know, and maybe Andrew did that and he patted him on the head and said, son, we appreciate that, but that wouldn't even get started, you know, everything. But anyhow, the little fella gave us lunch. And we acknowledge that, and we acknowledge the miracle of the Lord, and we acknowledge this little boy. But you know, there's somebody else in this story that's not mentioned. Somebody packed that lunch. Somebody baked that bread. Somebody caught or prepared those fish. And I want to say to all of us here this morning, to all of our graduates, it ain't your lunch. Somebody else. For the last several weeks, it's been exams, it's been parties, it's been senior trips, it's been pictures and pictures and pictures, and it's been flowers and celebration, and still going to be going on for a long time, acknowledging your accomplishment. And I'm very, very proud of you. of all that you did. I know that you went to the classes, and I know that you had to pass the exams, and I know that you were up late doing your homework, but somebody else packed the lunch. That's what I want you to understand this morning. That little boy that we give such great accolades to and such praise to, somebody else packed the lunch. Somebody else prepared that food. Somebody else had to provide that food. And my dear friend, there is a provision made before we ever got here. That's not only true of these high school graduates, kindergarten graduates, college graduates, but I wanted this morning to acknowledge the fact that there are so many people behind the scenes, moms and dads and grandparents. And for those of you who were involved in sports and you received, you know, recognition for sports during the year, and maybe you were a great athlete in the school, I thank the Lord for your ability that God's given you. But, you know, if you'll think back, there was somebody that taught you how to walk. There was somebody that taught you how to talk. And it was those people that are sitting near you this morning. They're the ones who did that before you were ever in the annual as the most athletic. There was somebody who began to roll a ball to you when you couldn't pick up a ball. There was somebody who went out in the backyard and played catch with you when they would give out and tired. And for all the young ladies here, there was somebody that stayed up with you. There was somebody that did all those things for you and prepared things for you before you ever got to this point in time. And I know in your heart that you appreciate that, but I just want to remind us this morning that somebody provided that for us. Somebody did that for you, prepared that for you. Somebody made preparation before you ever got there. And it concerns me across this nation, it seems like so much, maybe not so much in our church, maybe not so much in this community, but there's not enough emphasis on the accomplishments and the sacrifice of moms and dads and grandparents. We live in a society that kids think they're entitled to everything. And my dear friend, somebody had to do that. Somebody had to do that. Before you ever were a star basketball player, there was somebody who put up that first little backboard in the backyard and maybe one of those tiny tight basketball goals, and they helped you. When you were trying to chew the ball and they were telling you, no, put it in the hole, you know. You remember that? And when they were getting you prepared, they were training you for those things. But more than that, there were those who were washing your clothes. You think about how many socks do you think your mother's ever washed? Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how many clothes have been washed and for you all these years? Somebody prepared that lunch. Somebody had to get it ready before that little boy could ever show up there and give that food out. Somebody had to make all those preparations. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said you're to honor your father and your mother. I'm going to challenge you this morning, young and old, kindergarten, high school, college, young adults, you ought to honor your mom and dad. You ought to recognize their contribution into your life. And you say, Brother Billy, what's that got? I'm going to tell you, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? God thought it was really, really important. But in this society, it's not so important anymore. But if you've got a mom and dad, and you say, well, my mom and dad don't do like they ought to all the time. It makes any difference. The Bible said you honor your mom and your dad. They've done those things for you. They've done those things. The Bible said children be obedient to your parents. You've come this morning, and I thank you for being here. And y'all look so pretty and nice and clean. But I'm interested in what your bedroom looked like when you left home. Say amen right there. The Bible said obey your parents in the Lord. You know what? I believe that. Let me tell you how you measure spirituality. Husbands are to love the wives are to love the husband, children to obey the parents. And he talked about the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And he said, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God in that same chapter, then he goes on down. Then he talks about relationship between husband and wife. And it's impossible for you to be right with the Lord if you're not right with your husband and wife. If you're at odds with one another and you're not right with them, you can't be right with the Lord. And young people, if you're not obeying mom and dad, if you're not honoring mom and dad, then you're not right with God. That's your part right now. That's what you're supposed to be doing right now. I remember when I was in school, I was talking to Bob a while ago, and he's starting seminary. He'd been through college, and of course, a public school teacher, but he's starting seminary now. And I remember when I was there, and the thing about me, I had went to Lewisburg Junior College, and I pastored at the same time. I was assistant pastor part of the time, and I pastored down at Micro part of the time. And I was used to preaching. Well, when I left and went to Tennessee Temple University, I worked at in the second shift in a cotton mill to pay my way through school, and then I had to go to school all day. I was just having a fit to preach. I wanted to do something for the Lord. I felt like getting out, and not only me, but so many of those other preachers there, they were just chomping at the bit to get ready. And I do remember Dr. Robertson saying, you have one duty and one responsibility to God, that is to do your very best in school while you're here now. That's what he's got planned for you now. And young people, I don't know what God's going to do with you down the road, but I'm going to tell you what God's perfect will is for you right now. It is that you honor your father and your mother and that you obey them. And you need to do that. I want to ask you a question. How long has it been since you said to your mother and father, I love you? And you said it first. You didn't respond to them when they said, I love you, but and say, I love you too. But how long has it been since you've gone to your mom and dad and say, I love you? How long has it been since you walked up to them? Not when they bought you a new pair of shoes. I started to say Nikes, but I'm probably way behind. You know, it's some other brand now, I know. I really started to say Keds, but nobody would. And I almost called them sneakers. But anyway, overhauls. Anybody know what overhauls are besides me? All these old people in here? How long has it been? How long has it been since you went up and said, Mom and Dad, I thank you. I love you. You ought to honor your mother and your father. Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, young men, but Kobe Bryant has never bought you a gift. Never. I got news for you. He never will. He won't ever give you anything. He was not going to give you a birthday gift. He's not going to give you a graduation gift. He's not going to acknowledge you and love you and pray for you. He's not going to be there dinner night when you're sick. And I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you, I don't know of anybody in this building that, what's the Paisley boy? I know that's, what's his first name? Brad. I'm not talking about our Brad, but Brad Paisley. How many of you did he come to your graduation celebration? None. How many are you going to get a letter from him? None. How many has he hugged and said, I love you and I'm proud of you? None. And yet so many people take the Hollywood crowd and the sports crowd and put them on a pedestal. I'm going to tell you something, young people. It's time for you right now to say, I want to thank God for my hero, for my daddy. I want to thank God for my mother who loved me and cared for me. That Hollywood crowd, Nashville crowd, all that crowd, boy, you spend all of your time thinking about them. You got the posters up in your room. And I'm going to just tell you, you want to honor your father and your mother. You ought to do those things. In the book of Romans, he lists all these horrible sins, men with men working that which is unseemly, men leaving the natural use of the woman and burning lust toward a man, all those horrible things and all those sins that are listed there. And then lumped right in the middle of that is this, disobedient to parents. Did you know that's a wicked sin? Being disobedient to your parents. You say, well, hey, I'm 40 years old, preacher. You let them young people have it. Can I tell you something? A lot of you need to go back and apologize to a mom and dad who's now 60 and 70 and 80 years old and tell them, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry that I disobeyed you. I'm sorry I didn't know the same. And honor your father and mother now. No age limit on that. I'm talking about every person here. You ought to recognize that somebody else made the lunch. I don't know what that mother was thinking about that morning or that evening when she made that bread. How many of you know that in this day she didn't go to Food Lion and buy that flour? She didn't do it. You know where she got it? That mother at some point in time went out in a field somewhere. Maybe they were poor if they had barley loaves and barley. Brother Tom Gillum says it's barley bread because it is barley bread. Oh, barley bread. And what they did is they would leave the corners of the field to get to, for the gleanings. And this mother, some days before that, had gone out and the little gleanings, she'd cut down some of that barley. And she'd brought it back home and she'd beat it and got the grains and put it in a stone that was a grinder stone. And she took another stone and she ground that and ground that and ground that and made that flour. And she mixed that bread together. And she had that bread made, and she prepared that bread. How many know that she didn't cook with gas, and there were no microwaves? I saw something the other day that I know happened in our family one time. I thought it was pretty funny. It's just habit. You know, it's habit. Power was off, and couldn't cook, no gas, no refrigerator. nothing, everything else. But somebody said in the family said, well, praise God, thank God we still got the microwave. But do you know, this mom didn't have a microwave. You know how she baked that bread? She went out, or her husband went out, maybe a little boy went out, but they got wood. They had cut wood, split wood, gathered sticks or something, and they built a fire. Built a fire. Now, they're outside, and they're on a mountainside, and they've been fed. But did you know they don't have any air conditioning? They didn't have any air conditioning. And that mother had gathered that grain, ground that grain, made that bread, gathered sticks, got the wood, built the fire, and stood there and baked around in a fire in the summertime for that little boy. Isn't that something? And she made that bread. I don't know where they got the fish from. It could have been that daddy went out, fished all night. Maybe stayed all night, brought in, had enough for their family, and they ate it. He had to walk where he went. Didn't have a car, didn't have a boat, didn't have a trailer, didn't have a depth finder, didn't have a spinning reel, didn't have a cane pole. I don't know how he caught the fish, but he caught the fish. Had to clean the fish, and he had to get the fish there. And then they prepared the fish. Ever how they cooked them, they prepared that fish. And then they fed that little boy probably that night, and then the next day they packed this lunch for this little boy. And he went, and it turned out to be a blessing. But whatever God has put in his life because of the love of a mom and dad, he shared with others. And can I tell you what really is going to count in life? I think God, you've got to have your education. You've got to train for whatever chosen position, a profession that God leads you to go into. But there's a lot of other things that go into that. There are a lot of educated people who have absolutely no character. Before the mama prepared the bread, before the daddy prepared the fish, before he ever caught the fish or she ever gathered the grain, they had been preparing that boy. He could have went, and when he realized that people had need, he could have slipped off under a shade tree somewhere. But they'd done more than prepare that lunch. They'd prepared that boy. They'd put things in his life that caused him to want to give and to share and not be selfish, but he wanted to give it to others to honor the Lord. They put something in him. Hell, he could have been somewhere else. He could have been off partying with his friends. He could have been off somewhere else in some sort of sport or amusement. You know where that little fellow was at? I don't know how old he was. You know where he was at? He was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That mom and daddy did more than cook bread. They did more than prepare fish. They prepared that boy. They put something in his life, more than nutrients for his body. They had fed him spiritually. By a life of example, my dear friend, moms and dads and grandparents, there's an investment you make in young people, and it's more than what you pay for their education. It's what you invest in their lives by your example and leading them and guiding them. My wife's testified many times about her daddy's salvation. Her daddy had a concern in her and take her to church, but he didn't go to church. And one morning she said, I want you to go to church with me. And God used the testimony of that little girl and got a hold of her daddy's heart and her mama's heart. And they ended up going, and they ended up getting saved, being very faithful in church, Sunday school teachers, involved in church all of their life until Jesus took them home. But they put something in that boy beside her lunch. They prepared him and invested in him. And young people, let me tell you something. There are a lot of moms and dads who just don't care. The fact that you completed your education is not the fact that you're so smart, but you had a mom and dad who wouldn't let you quit. And they stayed behind you, and they worked on you, and they taught you the benefit of being faithful and doing a good job. And not just when somebody's watching you. And when you accomplish things and you finish your task and you do what you're supposed to do, that is adding something to your life. We were talking yesterday about chemistry. And we don't know why people have to take chemistry unless they're going to be a doctor or whatever. But I finally told Melissa, I said, you know, I said, what it's all about is discipline. You may never use the periodic table or none of those things. You probably won't remember it next year. But it was the discipline of preparing and passing a test. It was the discipline of study. And it was honing in your skills to study. But it was also developing your mind and those things. And so much of that. But there were people who kept pushing you and who kept saying, you got to do this. They put something in that little boy besides bread. And young people, I want you to understand that you were not born just like you are. They've trained you. The Bible said, train a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. They've been molding your life. They've been preparing you and doing things for you. My dear friend, young people and adults, you ought to thank God for those who made the lunch, for those who prepared ahead of time and got things ready. But now let's back up just a little bit. Many of you would sit here and acknowledge the fact that somebody prepared the lunch for that little boy. And he was prepared not only with the food, but he was prepared in his own life. But somebody else provided that. And to be ungrateful for that and not to appreciate that and not to acknowledge that, not honor your parents, all those things, and you recognize that being a horrible thing. But can I remind you of something? The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. And just as we want these young people to recognize that they didn't get where they are by themselves, you and I ought to understand that without him we could do nothing. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Were it not for the grace of God, many of us in this building would be in hell. Erskine said something about truck driving school. I don't think he's kidding. But Erskine will tell you and Tim will tell you that it's just the grace of God they're here. I could tell you it's just the grace of God I'm here. Plenty of times I could have been killed. Plenty of times I've done some stupid stuff. And yet God took care of me. And God's provided for me. And God's done all these things for me. Do you know that God, you didn't get here by yourself. It's not your lunch. God's prepared. At home, you've got a freezer, you've got a refrigerator, you've got a pantry. Did you know that everything in there, the potted meat and the vinous and the dried beans and, you know, the diet bar sitting right beside the box of moon pies, all those things. Every bit of that, God has provided for you. Every bit of it. You and I ought to recognize the fact if children and young people ought to honor their father and mother. When the Lord taught his disciples how to pray, here's how he said pray. You pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's provided for you. He's took care of you. And many of you are here today, and God's provided and took care of you for all these days. And you've never been grateful for that. But more than that, you've never accepted him as your personal Savior. Because more than providing food for you and air and health and all those things, he gave the greatest provision of all. He provided for you spiritually in giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might have everlasting life. And today, if you've not trusted him, it's the day you ought to do it. Would you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? I want to thank God for our graduates today. Thank God for these young people. There ought to be in every one of us a sense of gratitude for our parents and for our grandparents, for our extended family. For you, it may have been an aunt or an uncle. It may have been some other family member. But they were the ones who influenced you in your life. You ought to honor them. And during these days, for all of our graduates, while you're getting the parties and the celebrations and the cards, I just want to encourage you to recognize that somebody else prepared the lunch. I'm thankful for the Christian character of our young people that sit on this platform a while ago from kindergarten through college. They're sitting with their families today because they recognize the importance of mom and dad, grandparents, and family. And I wonder today if there's a person here in the building. You've lived your life. You've come to where you are now, and you may be 40, 50, 60 years old. But you've never stopped to think about the fact that God has provided everything you've ever had. You see, the Bible said he made it rain on the just and the unjust. That's the Holy Ghost's way of saying that he's blessed saint and sinner. He's fed you, he's clothed you, he's taken care of you, given you your necessities of life. He's provided opportunity for you to be saved and live in heaven for all eternity. though you've never acknowledged Him, though you've never been appreciative of that, though you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, He's done all that for you. I want us to stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. I really did not plan to do this, but while the music's playing so beautifully this morning, I want to pray. We're going to stand and ask you to pray. You may be 30, 40 years old. Your mom's here. Your dad's here. During these days of recognition and celebration, you may be a kindergarten graduate, a high school, college graduate, or you may be married and have grandchildren already. But I want you this morning to take a few minutes and just honor, show your love and appreciation for those who've been helping you. This is not what I had planned. The Holy Ghost of God led me to do this. Heavenly Father, I ask now the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would move on hearts. You said we ought to honor our father and mother, would be obedient to them. Our Father, you've taught us in the Word of God to be thankful. And God, I pray now in a simple act of obedience to your command that young and old alike in your presence would take a moment to acknowledge their love and appreciation for those who've been a blessing in their life. And I'll thank you. And Lord, if there's a lost man or woman, boy, girl here, I pray, God, you'd bring some great conviction on them that they could do nothing else but trust Christ today. And God will thank you. While we have our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask that you do just exactly what I've asked you to do. You can open your eyes, of course, to move around. I'll give you just a moment to acknowledge to your loved one, your mom and dad. You may be grown and married, but your mom and dad's here. Let them know how much you love them. Appreciate all they've done in your life. And thank God for them.